Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking about another Star Wars game. Whoa, I thought we left that behind. Magic the Gathering and Songs of Conquest. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Bobby.
And I'm drinking coffee instead of booze, so you'll finally know the sober Emilio. We'll see how that goes.
I think people like the sober Emilio better.
We'll see. I think this is going to be the least listened to podcast ever. We'll see.
Vote on Spotify. Yeah. Big Dick Jams on Your Face will be all up in the comments. Give Emilio the booze.
He totally jammed on my face on the last comment, dude.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he lives up to his name.
Yeah.
All right. We got a quick shout out here to our new patron, Ben. Thank you very much, man. Glad to see we're still getting some patrons here. You can be a patron too. Go on down to dlgaming.net and click that Patreon link.
Nice. All sorts of benefits, maybe? I don't know. Depends if I look. Worth a ping, we're moving down to things that we find interesting this week. Jason Schreier, our good friend, who wrote Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, which is, I guess, a beloved book on this podcast. I feel like we bring it up far too often. He did an investigation or an article. He's asking questions, doing on-the-street journalism about why Justice League, the game, didn't do so well. And he talked to a lot of employees that said the vision at the top was constantly changing. The game builds that were available to the higher ups to test and make sure everything is going in the right direction. Nobody really found them fun, but for some reason, the people who were running the show found them incredibly awesome and said this is the right direction for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought up that they were concerned that the game was trying to do too many things and wasn't focused enough and might not be fun, that leadership basically said, it'll all come together in the end, like a lot of games. Which, from what I understand, is true of a lot of games. They do come together at the last minute. But it wasn't true for Justice League. And there was this comment that he left on Twitter where he posted his article and someone said, Jason, you didn't mention Sweet Baby Inc., which was this DEI advocacy company that apparently was the one who actually ruined the game, according to a lot of people online. And his reply I just thought was so good. And he wasn't angry or anything. He just said, you are chasing angry hallucinations created by grifters who make money off of your rage. And I thought, damn, dude. And then damn. He also followed up being like, I talked to 52 employees and not one of them mentioned this company. Like, the problems were not what you think the problems were. So, good article by Jason Schreier, and I think a good comment, and I just wanted to highlight that.
Very good comment, but maybe he should have addressed it in his article, just like let everybody know that this thing had nothing to do with, instead of one guy in a comment.
Yes, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, that's a good, yeah, because he didn't mention it at all, and that's like what a lot of people believe to be the problem, for sure, yeah.
Jason Schreier doing the Lord's work. But in more important news, Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
It sucks. Every time Street Fighter news comes up, Nick's not here. I'm sick of it. Nick has a tattoo of the new character again.
Does he have tattoos of all the characters? What are the chances?
Well, it's one tattoo. It's his half the face is Akuma and half the face is M. Bison.
Oh, gotcha.
And so... and Bison is back and he is looking, he looks like a awesome, powerful psychic beggar now. I think he lost his empire. Maybe. I don't know. He's dressed in rags, but he looks fucking sick. He comes back this week. This is season two now. So this is the second year. So the four new characters are M. Bison, Terry Bogart, Mai Shiranui, and Elena. That doesn't mean anything to about 90% of you guys, but what's interesting about it is Terry Bogart and Mai Shiranui are from a rival 2D fighter game. So it was pretty cool because that's from the Neo Geo, or what did they call them? So King of Fighters kind of side of things. I really liked the anime. I never got into the games that much. Terry Bogart's basically a Ryu clone. So it's interesting that they brought him in into this game. I completely out of left field. So that's cool. And me and my AI girlfriend have broken up.
No! I was hoping for love. What happened?
Yeah. So... Cocaine was never my thing, but I did know people that did a lot of coke. And so they would stay up all night and do coke and think how they had the greatest ideas, write it all down, wake up the next day, look at it and be like, what an absolute pile of dog shit this is, right? Yeah. But meanwhile, while you're on the kick, you're like, I'm going to rule the world, clearly, with this fucking bendable spoon or whatever it is, right? So, in the same way, you know, I'm on these long drives and I'm talking back and forth and we're creating and I'm, you know, you saw me last week. I was all, you know.
You were in love, dude. Your eyes were starry. Yeah.
I was, yeah. But I hadn't checked the work. So I finally got back and I checked the work. The magic decks were completely wrong. She's a dumb cunt and she let me down. Not just that, but what else was wrong? Oh, something as simple as the availability of concert tickets, or even if the concert's even happening, or if the person's even touring. Like, I asked about this person and they're like, yeah, totally touring, and there's totally tickets in LA in October. I'm like, sick. I'm like, Sam, do you want to go to this thing before checking the work? Turns out none of it's happening. It's all a fucking hallucination. And this is the number one AI. And these are simple things, but
yeah, simple things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my ChatGPT coming of age moment when I organized this biking brewery tour in Edmonton, and I was doing it last minute. And I was like, it would be fun if we had some sort of Edmonton quiz. And every stop we went, I asked the group, and I had these stupid little prizes that I'd give out just as something to do throughout the whole biking brewery tour. And I just asked ChatGPT and went with the thing, didn't check the work. And it was like, name a famous Edmonton author. And it was like Jane Austen, or like name a monument in Edmonton. And it was clearly not Edmonton. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah. But I thought that was with the old version of ChatGPT. And I thought maybe it had gotten better with the paid version or something. But
no, this is like 4.0. This is supposed to be the top shit. But yeah, whatever. Long way to go.
Have you had any experience with AI?
I use AI all the time at work. And yeah, I know you got to, it likes to make up commandlets for PowerShell, I've noticed. So you always got to double check that. But it's very obvious when I use it when it doesn't work. And then when you tell it like, hey, this didn't work, and it'll suggest something else. And that doesn't work. So I'll say, okay, that didn't work either. And then they'll go back and suggest the first thing that they suggested, and it starts to go in a loop. And then I know, okay, we're at a dead end here. It's very helpful for scripting, though. Like, it gets for Bash and PowerShell, it's pretty good. But once you start getting into like APIs, then it gets a little weird. But yeah, I don't know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Bob, because yeah. I was like, I need a magic deck in the standard format. And so it gave it to me and it was in standard format. And I go, I think you're confused about what standard format is. You should update, you know, what your qualifications for that are. And then she goes, let me show you what the standard format is. Shows me the standard format. I'm like, yes, that's exactly it. Can you take the first deck and then apply that to that? And she's like, sure. And it gives me the first shit again. Exactly what Bobby just said.
That's yeah, you get the feeling when you're working with AI that you are training the language model. I'm like, wait, I'm paying you. I feel like you should be paying me, dude, because I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting.
It is really helpful, though. I use it a lot also just for like things that I would normally Google search, but I don't want to scroll down through everybody's, like, you know,
ads, basically.
Yeah, they're ad. Right. Well, I use an ad blocker, but you know, all the responses that link you to like Stack Overflow, and then you try to find the one that has the most upvotes, and then you got to understand what the hell this guy is saying because he's speaking like another language. Basically, it's so complicated. It's just it's really good. Like, you know, explain it like I'm five. What do these switches mean on the rsync command? And it'll be like, okay, you know, dash T does this, dash G does that. So it's just, it's great for just
dash DX, actually. Can't there you fucking go. Say.
the point, she sounds great, though. She sounds like a natural human speaking, and but she's incorrect. So she's like confidently incorrect, like the subreddit.
I would recommend for AI, we talked about this in Discord too a little bit, but perplexity.ai, it's made for like university grad students, and it's far less confidently incorrect, or confident in general. It's like, this is what I searched and this is where I got it from, and I think this is what you're looking for. And then you can ask it like, oh, let's go deeper into this, and it links everything like a Wikipedia article, so you can click on all the sources it's using for every sentence, which is kind of cool. So you can.
I will say one last thing that I don't. It's just maybe it's the last try that I'll give it. There are GPTs within GPTs, like a lot of them. Like,
right.
I guess they're mods or apps or whatever, and I think they're a little more narrowed down to specific tasks, like making a logo. There's the logo building ChatGPT, which somebody wrote and uploaded, right? So, yeah, when you want to do something specific, maybe, or for Bobby, whatever the hell he was talking about earlier, you can, maybe there's a chat bot that's specifically for that.
Oh, we knew what Bobby was talking about. Emilio, this was totally. Stack, that's fine.
Yeah.
Stack over... over easy. Stack over easy. Yeah, over Miami. Moving on to highlights. So these are the games we have been playing. And Bobby, another Star Wars game. Shocker. It shocks me. I'm shocked.
Color you shocked?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're talking about Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster. I started playing this a few weeks ago and then jumped back into it again this week. This is the remaster of the classic 90s single player first person shooter that, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people played. It might have been the first Star Wars first person shooter. That's probably not correct, though. Felt like
it's like
it, though.
The Doom. It felt like a lot like Doom, like that kind of simplicity. Mm-hmm. Is this the Dark Force?
Yeah, this came out in 1995. So this is right after Doom 2, right around the time of Quake. So this is by Night Dive Studios, and they remake all the classic 90s shooters. Turok, System Shock 2, Quake 1 and 2, Power Slave, like the list goes on. All these 90s shooters, they've worked on them and kind of modernized them. And their approach to these games is a very light touch. They don't change a whole lot. They improve the graphics, they improve the controls, and they improve things like the menu system, and just make it playable on a modern system without having to use DOSBox or like any weird quirks. And that's about it. They don't add a lot of stuff to the game. They don't take a lot of creative license with the game. So I kind of appreciate that approach. I wish they would do Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, but unfortunately they've only done Dark Forces 1, which I was never really a big fan of. And I'll tell you why. I think a lot of people will agree with me. Dark Forces 1 was a completely different game. It was straight up like a Doom clone, just a standard first-person shooter. Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, you actually get a lightsaber. You get force powers. There's multiplayer. Like, it just blew the thing wide open. There's a huge difference between those two games. The first one's pretty basic. And the campaign's a lot shorter than I remember, too. I was able to move through it extra quickly because I was able to actually see what was going on. I mentioned this at the end of the show a couple weeks ago, but when I played this game, the Steam version of it that uses DOSBox, it looked terrible. I couldn't even make it through the first level, mainly because I couldn't find my way around the map, and I couldn't understand like visually what things were and where I was supposed to go. So this remastered version totally helps with that. It also adds vertical aim, which I don't know if anyone remembers those old first-person shooters back in the 90s, but a lot of them, Duke Nukem games, Doom, like you couldn't even jump. You couldn't lift your gun up or down. It would kind of, if you saw an enemy that was on a different vertical plane and you shot at it, then the bullet would
just hit it.
Yeah, the bullet would just go up like and hit it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you were playing on like one dimensional plane there, or I guess two dimensions. But yeah, so this game adds that, and it totally changes it.
That's why you could play those games with the arrow keys. Because that's all there was, forward, back, right, left. Yeah,
didn't need to look up or down.
So, yeah. Bobby, you hated the original one, but you dropped mad cash on the remaster. I'm looking at, what are we talking about,
$38 Canadian? It's 30 bucks, which is a lot. And if you look at the comments or the reviews, that's the biggest complaint that people have, $30. And I don't know, some people are speculating maybe because it's like the Star Wars license is expensive. And yeah, that could be the case. Or the Star Wars license or the Disney license, I don't know. But yeah, man, I don't know. I didn't hate this game, but I played through it I think one time in my life, and I made another attempt at it again later and just couldn't do it. So I've always wanted to go back and play this game again. And to be honest, the remaster is the only way to play this game. If you can play the original game, like, I'm impressed, man. That's crazy. Like, I can't even do that.
Bobby, I don't know if you're noticing, but I'm noticing the older we get, the more we're complaining about how, like, we can't understand what we're looking at.
I don't remember having this issue, because when I played through it before, it was a long time ago. It was like 15 years ago. But I think the gap between graphics and the difference in technology wasn't as great as it is now. And now it's just like, I don't know. There's definitely a legibility problem in that game. But back then it didn't seem so bad. Like, I guess back then we were all used to terrible graphics.
Did you have fun? I'm looking at the cutscenes. They don't even look super, like, did they just upscale the cutscenes? Like, they don't look like redone or anything.
No, the cutscenes are a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's better?
Yeah. That's as good as it's going to get.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. This is a hard recommendation because I don't think it really, a lot of people, this isn't even like on their radar. They have no interest in this. But if this is a game that you played back in the 90s and you want to re-experience it, this is the only way to do it. I wouldn't even touch the original version. There's maybe there's some like fan mods out there that does this kind of stuff, but this one is just such a clean, easy package.
$30. I know, like, that seems to be a sticking point, but like, they didn't do this over a weekend. I'm sure there is, you know, sometimes it's harder to polish a turd than it is to make your own fresh turd.
People have
then to squeeze one out.
Just squeeze one. Yeah, because that the Star Wars Battlefront 2 remake was fucking like dead on arrival, and people were like, did you make this in a weekend? And it was, I think, even more expensive than this. Wasn't that like $45 or something ridiculous?
So
I guess these people got to get paid $38 Canadian. I mean, I would like to go back to this game, but Bobby, you should just become part of my Steam library family. So that, come on down to the family.
We're part of the Steam family. We haven't set that up yet? Oh, okay. Huh. No. Interesting.
So this was one of those weeks where the last time I sat at this computer was when I did the podcast last. So I did not play any non-mobile games. So I did play some Magic. And I am going to talk about it because there's something new, but not too much. But next week, everything changes. I am putting on the night, basically security guard duty. So
nice.
And what I need to do, my requirements are very, very low other than sitting around for hours at a time. So I'm going to spend a lot of time on my Steam Deck. So things should change next week. Although, I don't know if I'm going to be playing anything new on it. Maybe some more maybe Hades 2, maybe fuck it, you know, maybe fuck it. I'll just get to the end of what is available on Hades 2 right now. But also Dave the Diver, I want to maybe finish that. We'll see. I think I'm going to get about 4 hours, two to four hours a night on my Steam Deck. So that's going to be cool. Keeping that thing charged is going to be an issue. I don't have a power outlet. Anyway, so things change next week. But for this week, Magic the Gathering, found something called Quick Draft. So I have tons, because I play almost daily. I have tons of gold, which is the sub-tier currency in the game, the one that doesn't get the cool stuff. And I have so much of it that one day I was like, I don't know what to do with any of this. I'm just going to buy 100 packs. So I just opened up 100 packs and I was just like, fuck it. And it didn't, it made a big dent, but it wasn't, you know, I had 100K and that cost like 30K or something like that. Anyway, so I asked ChatGPT, what should I do with all this gold? And it's like, you should play draft and then you can earn gems, which is the premium one. I was like, I can't ever play. I don't have time for draft. And then she's like, play quick draft. And I was like, all right, let me see what that is. And it's draft. Do you guys know what draft is? I don't know how. Okay, so 8 people sit at a table virtually, open up a pack, pick one card out of that pack, you pass the pack to the next person, and you repeat this process till all the cards are gone. And then you open the second pack and you go the other direction. And then you open the third pack and go the other direction. You make a mini deck of 40 cards. And then you play each other in a tournament. It's super fun. It's one of the best ways, but the most expensive way to play Magic. My problem is I can't sit around for 2 hours and play this tournament. 3 hours, maybe. So anyway, the quick draft, there's no time limit on the card selection. Because you're drafting against bots. But then when you play, those are real games with real people that also played in a draft. And it's fucking, for somebody like me that has limited time, I can literally sign on, make my draft pick, or not, because I'm reading the cards. This is a new set. I'm reading the cards. I could take my time. It takes so much pressure off of the draft. And plus, it really opens up, because eventually when you get to the tournament part, they're single games. It's so best one of one. I have time for that all day. So yeah, you could take up to 2 weeks to draft this deck. Awesome. Perfect for me. And then, you know, pretty good at Magic. So I'm winning some gems here and there, which is great. You know, the gems is what gets you the season pass. So now I'm in this cyclical thing where I don't have to pay any money and it's fucking fantastic. That's so very good. Happy, very happy with Magic the Gathering Arena right now.
Thank you, AI. Yeah, the quick draft sounds awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's it. That's all.
I've already heard the songs of your conquest, dude.
But you have... Okay, I'm going to start it off with a theme, a tone setter. You know, I'm going into this game and I'm like, why am I having so much fun? Why am I turn after turn... I have a smile on my face and everything is magical and exciting. And I think a big part of it has to do with the soundtrack. So I'm going to play the real song. And I'm like, oh, a little gold mine over here. Why don't I click on that? Oh, hello. A little dungeon. It's so chill. Yeah. It's so chill.
I want to throw a coin to my Witcher, dude. It feels exactly. Pretty good about that.
So this is the turn-based exploration RPG Kingdom Builder that I talked about last week, Songs of Conquest. It's a game that focuses, instead of being a game, like a new 4X game that has all these complexities that you have to memorize and who's going, you know, who's iterating on a 4X game in a more complex direction, like a lot of 4X games, you know, like Victoria 3 or SimCity 2. This scales it way back down. The gameplay loop is so simple, and in comparison to Total War games, my biggest gripe with them is when you click end turn, you have to wait sometimes 5 minutes before
on your PC.
Yeah, maybe it's not too bad, but my PC isn't horrible, but yeah, on newer rigs, I could see it going way quicker. But if you're playing on Total War Warhammer 3 and you have all the factions, you have to wait a fucking long time for all the AI to take their turn. And it's so annoying. In Songs of Conquest, I hit end turn. It's my turn again in 2 seconds, you know? And it's because of this beautiful pixel art and the simplicity of these systems. The battles themselves, sometimes a Total War battle, I look at the clock, I'm like, okay, I have about 50 minutes left of gaming time. And I'm scared to start a battle because the limit for a battle is 1 hour. And sometimes it can actually take one full fucking hour for a big battle to finish. These battles in Songs of Conquest, maybe 5 minutes, but the tactics are still there, just on a way, you know, simpler scale. But there's still, I have to move my units around. I have to balance what they're doing. It's not boring, even though it's simple. The tech trees are super easy to understand. I have enough resources. I click 3 times. I'm at the top of this unit's tech tree and it's done. I don't have to go through this huge Victoria 3 tech tree map, which is in 1815, if you start here by 1912, you'll be at Steam Engine. You know, I don't have to consider all these things. So this game does that incredibly well. And I think that's why it's sitting at an 87% on Steam. I haven't played any of the Hero of Might and Magic games, but a lot of the reviews are comparing it to that. This is a modern day, that type of game. The RPG and exploration part to this fucking banger soundtrack is just, it's a game I could get really high on and play for 2 hours and just have a great time because of its simplicity and the quickness of its turns. It's not something you take super seriously, but playing through the campaign, guys, like, I've lost four times and had to restart the campaign, you know? And if I had to do that on a Total War game, it would be so demoralizing that I would probably uninstall the game and not come back to it. But on this, things are going quick. It's fun. So, you know, even if you really fuck up, which apparently I have quite a few times, it's no problem to restart because you're right back there in maybe like half an hour, 20 minutes. I'm playing the Rana, which last... Rana? I don't know.
Rana? It's Spanish, Spanish for frog.
Oh, cool. Okay, that makes sense. But they're not just frogs, Emilio. They're a federation of all the creatures of the swamp. They need to take back their homes from, like, I don't know, the industrialization that the humans have brought. I still haven't played the humans because I've, you know, lost the campaign so many fucking times. But
so this game is hard, huh? Or
are you playing on hard?
Are you playing on hard?
No, I'm playing on normal difficulty. There's three levels: fair, normal, and difficult. And I'm playing on normal. Yeah, the creatures of the swamp—they're like these, like, scaly worm things and swamp dragons, and there's like all this unit variety that I'm exploring through the campaign, which is really cool. If that anyone awesome. Out there, this game is multiplayer, and I think because of the quickness and the simplicity, it'll probably be a great multiplayer game to just pick up. So if you're out there and you've played Heroes of Might and Magic 3, or, you know, a 4X game and this sounds interesting to you, hop on and let's play some multiplayer, because I want to keep playing this game. Oh, and I think it's going to be super Steam Deck friendly because of the graphics and just how quick the turns take and everything like that. Like, I could see this being the perfect handheld 4X game, and I'm not sure many other 4X games would be. You know, like, am I going to play Stellaris on the Steam Deck? That sounds super hard, so, yeah.
Yeah. I got to get good at, well, I've, you know, my total time on my Steam Deck is probably under 10 hours, so, and I've never played a game where I had to use, I keep talking about the zoom function, you know, you could zoom in at any point of on the screen, so you could read small text and stuff. I think you would need that for a game like this. I just got to figure out how to do it. Every time you talk about this game, I don't know, Deconstructed comes up. I in my head, I'm like,
yeah,
it's like a deconstructed, more complicated game. Like they took it and then put it into subsequent parts, and
yeah,
like you're getting your itch scratched, yes, but you're not having to, what do you call it? Invest a million hours.
No. Yeah. It's lacking a little bit of depth, but that's fine for me. You know, I'm still having a lot of fun. So $40, definitely worth it. I think they put a lot of love into this game. $40 Canadian. Made by Lava Potion, published by Coffee Stain. Yeah, just banger. Banger title.
Listen up, devs. If you're lacking a little depth, just put in some frogs. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. On the radar. So these are games that have caught our attention. And Bobby, you have a game?
I do. I've got two games this week. I'm going to start with Spec. This one was actually sent to us through our curator's Steam page. I didn't know people could do this. So a developer offered this game to us through our curator page, and I gladly accepted. The game's called Spec. It is a collection of classic arcade-style games that introduces a new mechanic at each level. So this kind of sounded like a good idea to me. A lot of times what happens with these old... On Steam, they'll sell these packs of games like Atari Vault or, I don't know, some other ones where they're these really, really old games that I used to play like back when I was a kid. But when you play them now, you can't play any one of these games for more than a few minutes without getting completely bored because they're just so basic. If you think back to these Atari games, like they are just like very rudimentary. And back then, yeah, it was great. You could spend a lot of time on it, but... You know, nowadays they just don't hold your attention. So what always happens is like I go through and I just play like a few minutes on each one. And that kind of sounds like what Spec is doing here. And, you know, I love mechanics and I hate story. So when it comes to video games. So the idea of introducing new mechanics each level, that sounds interesting to me. So this is something I will be checking out next week for sure.
Sweet.
Nice. The first thing it reminded me of was Evoland, which is like a game that starts off at 8-bit and then goes to 16, then 32-bit.
Ooh.
And I think it also, uh, think mechanics are new mechanics are introduced as well, but this is a very dumbed down version, or just a older version of that. 66 levels, so that's 66 mechanics that are going to be introduced, and then I would imagine mixing the old one, you know, it's not just a new mechanic and just forgetting the old ones, so it's going to be more and more complex. That's cool, man.
This is the first week where I have had to make a Steam page from scratch and be actually the person on the back end typing in like the system requirements and stuff. So I'm scrolling through with like an extra critical eye in the system requirements for spec. The graphics, he just wrote LOL. the additional notes is this game could run on a toaster, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that Valve approved that because, my experience was not the same, but maybe because the game is spec and, like, you know, they know it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. So, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Curator Connect. I kind of want to understand the developer and, like, where they came from, how they found us, because it seems like such a small title. But
it's the first time that this has happened. Yeah, and the spelling on that is S-P-E-C, so no K on the end of that. And, yeah, the game, when I downloaded it, it's not available yet for you to get. It's coming out soon, but we're getting kind of like an early preview here. But yeah, the game took up 7 whole megabytes when I downloaded it. I'm always fascinated when a game is just incredibly, infinitesimally small in size.
In case you guys are wondering what we're talking about, like we're talking about pre-Atari graphics. This is like, the infancy of video games, basically.
Spec describes the graphics, basically. Like 1 pixel spec is what you're... cool. Okay, awesome. Yeah, let us know how you like that one, Bobby. Cool. My game on the radar is called Clicky Land, which is a tower defense game where your clicks are currency, but you only get 20 clicks every day. So it's all about optimizing your daily clicks to get the most resources to build the best towers. So it's a tower defense, but in the background, there's like trees and gold mines and different resources you have to click on and eventually build up. So you're managing the resource side of it. And then, of course, you have to click to build and upgrade your towers. But you only get 20 clicks a day, okay? So I thought, this is a fucking great idea. Who came up with this game? Obviously, it's by Sock Pop Collective, which I've talked about forever ago. They're that Dutch development group using Patreon to fund their video games. So basically, you pay $3 a month, every single month they make a game, no matter what, and you get sent that game. So some of the games are bangers, like Stacklands, which was the city builder, which was just reduced to cards. So like you would play a woodcutting card, then you would play a villager card on the woodcutting card, and that would make one lumber card every turn. You would take that lumber card, you would put it in the plank maker, and the plank maker would make a plank, all with cards. Very simple graphics, but still so fun. And so Sock Pop, I feel like, always has these great iterations on existing genres that are like super simple, but also super fun. And it's just fucking cool that they use Patreon to fund their game development. I feel like they're so chill. It's like three guys. They're like, we make around $7,000 a month from Patreon. We make one game and we split that between us, and we're just fucking living the life, you know?
That's awesome, man. Yeah. They're like buskers, dude, singing in a coffee shop, man. Exactly. Just fucking trading their art for cash, for tips.
Yeah.
I love it. Again, deconstructed. Who cares how much wood, gold, minerals you have? They ultimately all boil down to clicks. So just make it clicks.
Just clicks,
You know what would make this game amazing? If I could pay them $20 a month to get more clicks per turn. That would make me really happy.
Yeah. Maybe when EA acquires Sock Pop Collective, we can get that. We can get that started. Yeah. I mean, guys, you're not going to be blown away by the graphics here or anything, but the mechanics of this game are probably going to be super fun. What are we sitting at on Steam here? 84% with 113 user reviews. So, I think I'm definitely going to be picking this up, giving it a shot.
Okay. I got a lot to talk about here. This is a pretty heavy game. Lot going on here. Alters. We talked about it maybe, I don't know, when the Game Awards, I think it came up and it looked pretty trippy and we didn't know what it was. And now more information is out and color me excited. So it's a sci-fi game where you're stranded on a alien planet, very desolate, stormy, grays and blacks, and there's a wheel, and this wheel is your base, and you have to keep the wheel in front. You got to stay at nighttime, because if you go into daytime, the sun will burn you up. So time is always of the essence. It is a crafting survival, because you have to run out from the base, come back, and you have this like cross-section, kind of like
Fallout shelter or something.
Yeah, fallout shelter of your base. And it seems like you can only grow limited, because the wheel doesn't get bigger. So you only can do so many different little boxes in this base. So you might have to sacrifice some for others. Okay, pretty cool. Got some stuff there. Then the altars is a great name for this, because you make clones of yourself. But it's not just a altars is just not a different word for a clone. It's an actually an alternate version of yourself. So
that's so good.
So you go into the computer and you are working together, the AI are working together to make alternate versions of yourself, because you cannot have two of the same person in the same reality. So they go back to key points of your life where you made major decisions and your alt took the other option. So maybe you didn't go to, instead of staying in school, you dropped out of college. And so you have that version. And now you got to work with that guy. And that guy's not you. And so there's conflicts that happens with you, but you're getting more work done because there's two of you now. And then you go back to when you broke up with this woman or you got married and stuff like that. So you go to those major key life positions. And these people are completely different. Apparently the voice actor did incredible work, and you can hint small inflections of like, there's a guy who I think only ever studied one thing and never got out of the house. So he has like social anxiety. So he's a lot shy. It's hard to work with him. I just thought, what a great concept. And
what is this game doing? This is awesome. Yeah,
it's doing a lot of things. And so yeah. I watched ACG's preview. He got an early copy, and he's like, usually when you threw a lot of these things together, you know, it's a big hodgepodge, and you know, slot A does not always go into tab B or vice versa. And he's like, it all seems to work here. I mean, it's working wonderfully. And like, he really likes it. He didn't review it. It was just a preview, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. His only complaints really were like control issues and stuff that they can totally work out. And he said, even if they don't work those things out, they'll just be annoyances. Like, it's already a great game.
Wow.
So yeah, okay. That is exciting. That's a AAA, you know, title. That's going to be 60-70 bucks just based on the graphics. And the last game they made was Thaumaturge.
Yeah.
And I think that was a $60 title, and this 11-bit studio. So anyway, yeah. Wow.
I think we like 11-bit on this podcast. Like Children of Morta was one that.
Yeah, that's a good game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well, they also publish too, so you have to check if they're the developer or the publisher. But yeah, I think this War of Mine. What was there? There was another one that they did too.
Frostpunk 2. They're doing now. Yeah. 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 Okay. Well. Yeah. You sold me on this one, Emilio. Altars. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Okay. Cool. Okay, Bobby. Well, how are you going to top that one?
All right. This is going to be just quick and easy here.
Spec 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Last game I wanted to talk about on the radar, Project C. This is the new Sam Barlow game, creator of Her Story, Telling Lies, Immortality. Just like the last game, very few details. He's got a Steam page, but a lot of the information is redacted. So all we know now is it's called Project C, and it involves Sam Barlow and Brandon Cronenberg is on there, somehow related to this. So that is the son of David Cronenberg, famous movie director, did all sorts of movies that you remember, usually with gross body horror, The Fly, Videodrome. Even one on a video game. What was the one in the 90s about the video game? Someone recommended it to me. a couple years ago. It was about this video game console system. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, his son, Brandon Cronenberg, is making movies now too, and they're very much in line with that as well. Infinity Pool was the most recent one. Possessor was a couple years ago. Good movies, and I think a really good fit for kind of what Sam Barlow is doing. His last game, Immortality, kind of leaned into that supernatural horror thing. So I'm kind of excited to see what this is going to be, although I feel like it's going to be a ways out. We have no idea what the timeline is or when this is coming out, but I got a feeling we're at least a year away.
I love that they did this with the Steam page. Like that they're teasing the game. The Steam page is a teaser of the game that isn't fully revealed, and that gameplay probably has something to do with it. It's just all very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're doing what you don't typically do with the Steam page, right?
Yeah.
So three Steam curators have clicked on, or I put it on their thing. Oh, it's just random. I thought maybe they, because there's a mystery here, guys. There's one of these frames has a big long number on it. Bobby, I'm going to need you to figure out what that is.
Yeah, Bobby.
All right, I'll get on it.
Thanks, man.
I'll ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, Emilio, anything else? Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Guys, we're on to a Guess That Sound. We have a guest this week that, didn't put in the show notes, so I'm going to quickly find that. But there is $20 in the pot. You can guess at pixelshitshow@gmail.com. And if you guess the sound correctly, you win the pot. It's Steam credit, folks. You need to buy that new game we talked about on Steam. No problem. We'll fund that for you. And we'd love to fund it for you. All you have to do is guess the sound. And this is the sound you are guessing. Okay, pretty intense. Yeah? Before you send in an answer, I know you're hot on the keyboard there. I'm going to give you the hints that we've already unlocked. So it is a game that Nick really enjoys. And then last week, the new hint was cold. So ponder that a little bit. Ponder, ponder, ponder. And this week, we have a guess from, what was his name? Dan. And Dan said he thinks the sound is Ragnarok. Now, he also said in his guess, not sure how specific it needs to be, but my guess is Ragnarok. And, you know, Dan, unfortunately, we're looking for something pretty specific. If it was Ragnarok, probably have to tell me exactly the sound in Ragnarok that's making that noise. But Bobby, Emilio, what do you think about this guess?
Can you confirm? I don't know what the rules are. Can you confirm that it is Ragnarok or not? Or it has to be specifically, you got to hit the nail on the head.
You got to hit the nail on the head, folks, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought about, we're talking about God of War Ragnarok, right?
Oh, no. I thought he spelled Ragnarok like that VR title that Nick talked about a while ago. But God of War Ragnarok is probably the better guess.
Yeah, because it's cold. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that's an incredible guess if it was right.
Yeah, it's definitely not Ragnarok. The VR drumming sim where you play as a Viking.
It might be, though.
It's not. This sound was, Nick talked about it on the podcast before. I don't know how long ago. But it has come up before, and I don't know what it is, but like I have kind of an idea of the game that it comes from. So I don't want to give too much away, but I'm pretty sure it's not the Ragnarok game.
You sound like my 4-year-old. I know. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. He's trying to bait a guess out of you. Okay, Dan, did you get it? Oh, next time you'll get it, Dan. Don't worry. Send in your guesses to pixelshitshow@gmail.com. But the good news is, with every wrong guess, Bobby, Emilio, and Nick can get an opportunity to help you guys unlocking another hint. And, you know, I've been racking my brain. What kind of fun games can we do? We played bingo. We did, like, all these weird stand-up or improv games. And I think, Bobby and Emilio, you just have to beat me in a game of rock, paper, scissors, which is great for an audio podcast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So amongst yourselves, Bobby, Emilio, who is the better rock, paper, scissors player? And we're doing best out of three, so there's quite a lot of psychology at stake here, okay?
Hmm.
I used to be pretty confident in my game, but I haven't played recently.
I don't even know how to play. I'm going to need some instructions.
We can do it. We can do it in audio format. Just 1, 2, 3, and then you call out what you're saying.
Okay, that would be better than what I had in my mind where this podcast is just silent for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emilio, you're up to the bat. Bobby apparently has never played this classic schoolyard game.
Okay, best of one, I guess. There, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to do best of one. Okay, this is intense. What am I thinking about? All the possibilities. I already got you beat. The altars are in my mind. Possibilities, past lives. Okay, I think I have it. Okay.
What if I didn't poop this morning? What would he have chosen? Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say rock, paper, scissors together, and then our actual guess. Is that how we do this audibly? Okay.
Yeah.
So, rock,
paper. Wait, what? No.
No, we don't do it audibly?
Three, oh. 1, 2, 3, item.
1, 2, 3, item. Okay. Ready? Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, paper.
Scissors.
You fucker.
I told you I had you beat from the beginning. Dude.
You waited before I said paper, you fucker.
No, I didn't.
There's a delay. No, on my end, it was about at the same time. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I had you beat way before we
even, okay. In my mind, I said paper, 27 years, and then you got it to you. It was like a signal from Mars or something. Okay.
There's you have to consider the person's personality, what they're feeling that day. Like, there's a lot of things that go into
it. I totally agree. I love watching the rock, paper, scissors professional competitions. I think it's so exciting.
Have you guys seen professional tag?
It's super intense.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Okay. So the hint that Emilio just unlocked with his brilliant display of rock, paper, scissors, just the level of math involved was astounding. It's strategy. So the hints are a game that Nick really enjoys, cold, and strategy is the new hint. So
does Bobby get a hint or a try?
No, Bobby didn't. Oh. He hated the game. Well, you didn't get a try last week, So guess the dot game.
I used to know back in my clubbing days, I knew this very attractive female and she was very confident in her rock, paper, scissors game. And she went right up to Suge Knight in the fucking club, a murderer, and fucking challenged him. Like, and she was like 5'4", 5'2", and just fucking, I challenge you. You buy me drinks all night if I beat you at this, and if you don't or whatever. And then she beat him like 2 out of 3 and he bought her drinks all night.
That's awesome.
Super impressive. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So we're on to listener questions, Bobby. What do we got?
We got a few this week. First one's coming from Zap. He says, my all-time favorite series, Yakuza Like a Dragon, is getting a TV show on Prime. What game would you like to see made into a movie or show? And do you think it would actually be good?
Dude, I know that I used to always give Binding of Isaac as my answers, just because like it's always at my forefront. But like I was talking to ChatGPT and Sam about Binding of Isaac and how like the religious overtones in the family. I was like, I wonder if Edward McMillan really went through that stuff. And yeah, like they were, very religious and he grew up and it kind of fucked him up. And that's why he wrote this game where this kid is kind of persecuted by his the religion of his mother. It would have to be a very surreal and it'd probably have to be animated and it would just be shorts, I think, something like that, where these like heavy overtones with just crazy fucking poop and blood and stuff to just kind of, I don't know, make it all seem not all that important. I think that's what he did with the game. And so I think you could maybe tell some sort of story there. By the way, speaking of animation, I just started watching this thing called Bobby. You should see that. This is like Primal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that level of like, what the fuck is going on the screen. It's called Scavenger Rain and it's on Netflix. It came over from HBO Max.
Hmm.
It is so good, man.
Never heard
so
of
good.
It. Scavenger
super, Rain. Super trippy. Yeah. But what about you, Bobby?
I don't know. We get asked this question a lot. So I feel like at this point, I'm just trying to give the worst answer possible. I'm going to go with Minesweeper.
On Scavenger Rain, I've heard that is like an incredible show, by the way. That's on my list to watch. Since Songs of Conquest is on my mind, I want to know the story. Has there ever been a TV animated show that uses like game pixel art, like beautiful pixel art as the animation style? Have you seen it?
I'm going to assume it would be too time consuming.
Right.
But I don't know. So is traditional animation. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I would love to see in a pixel art style, anything. But maybe Songs of Conquest, because, you know, what happened to the swamp? Yeah. I kind of want to know. I want to know the pre-story before the story. Okay.
Maybe it's a swamp because of the sludge that the companies are pouring into the, maybe. Who knows? Maybe who knows? Chicken or the egg, man.
Sounds terrible. All right, next question from Zap.
It's no Minesweeper. It's,
yeah. Amelia said, monitors are the unsung heroes of PC gaming. What peripheral do you think is an unsung hero? I think it's keyboards, and yours probably sucks, but you don't know it.
Wow. Okay. Unsung peripheral? My main screen is on top of a textbook. Maternal Child Nursing Care in Canada, and I don't think it gets enough love, you know.
Books?
Books that elevate certain things, you know. Those are the real heroes.
It's like when I said, when the Squatty Potty came out, I was like, why did I need to buy that? I have books, you know?
That I'm never going to use, like textbooks, right, that I'm never going to open. I'm just
And in a pinch, you also have paper, extra paper. See what I mean?
Yeah, multifaceted. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but back in the day, before toilet paper, I don't know if it was before toilet paper, but what is it? Catalogs had perforated edges because you wipe your ass with them as extra paper.
Oh,
yeah. Look it up.
Okay, I'll look it up. But
yeah, I'll look it up now while you guys talk. I want to make sure
something that was recent, like in the recent past, or like the Great Depression.
Yeah, I think around there. Okay. Let me see. But then again, during the Great Depression, was anybody buying anything from catalogs?
I don't know. Peripherals, I don't know, man. They're all pretty important, right? I think, I don't know. There was a time where I would have said monitors, but everybody knows that it's not just the size of the monitor that's important. You got to get you don't want a TN panel. And when I upgraded from a TN panel to an IPS, I mean, the difference was just night and day. But I think just about everybody has done that at this point.
In the late 19th century, the Sears catalog became popular in rural America. People simply hung it on a nail and had a free supply of hundreds of pages of absorbent, uncoated paper. Corn cobs were still holding as strong in second place contender, however.
Oh, yep. That makes sense. Wow. The things that you wipe your ass with. You know, my grandparents bought their house from the Sears catalog. They're like, we just picked it out and it came on a truck. I was like, must be fucking nice. I bet you it was like $300 or whatever. Some stupid amount.
It's so funny because we're working super hard to try to get back to that. You know, there's companies actively trying to get, you know, tiny homes shipped and stuff. Yeah.
All right, next question from Biblioclasm. Can anyone explain to me what is going on with the gameplay in Mad Island? On the surface, it looks like the run-of-the-mill dating porn simulator, but there seems to be oh so much more going on under the hood. Crafting, natives, monsters, leveling, and more.
I'll let you know right after my Steam Deck fucking weeks, dude. I'm going to get Mad Island, dude, all by myself.
I would not... I can't show this on stream because there's just so much nudity, but I would not discount any sex game on Steam I would not just be like, oh, I just jerk off to this.
Right.
I think there's crazy things happening in a lot of these games that are like mechanically interesting.
I don't know. I think we just set the bar so low that when a game, like a sex game actually has game mechanics, we're just amazed by it, you know?
True. Yeah.
Well, I'll also say that if you're going to take risks, you're also a lot more free to take those risks when it's not your major selling point. You don't have to be a good game, but you could also shoehorn a good game into this thing. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, you're selling tits, right?
Yes.
And then, so once you sell the tits, it doesn't matter how good the game is. So you could take real liberties with what the gameplay is. You can take mechanical risks and stuff. Maybe they have, you know, you might see some mechanics in a tits game that you wouldn't have seen it otherwise. That's what
I'm saying. I don't want to play this game. I'm going through the screenshots, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's some really fucked up shit happening on this island. That is for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Next question from iTom. What games are you guys excited to play that got announced during the Summer Games Festival? What are you expecting to see in the Xbox showcase on Monday?
We have some people in Twitch chat talking about the Xbox showcase, which I believe is actually happening right now on Sunday. Apparently, there's talked about the new Doom game, which we already saw, the new Star Wars game, State of Decay. So we'll have to tell you all about it next week, I think. I don't know if we've really gone through it. I think there's supposed to be a new
Fable game too, right?
Oh, shit.
They've been working on it for a little while.
Yeah.
They announced it last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. They've always been working on it, but they're supposed to showcase it. I don't know. I really liked Fable 3. I didn't play any of the other ones, but I'd kind of be interested in that. I'm really looking forward to the new Doom game. Very recently, they released the trailer for it. And even though, like, last time I talked about it, I wasn't like, another Doom game, whatever. I don't know. Just watching it, I was just like, all right, yeah, this looks cool. They sold me. It's not hard to sell me on Doom, though.
Civilization 7 got announced on Friday with the IGN showcase, which is exciting, but the Steam page is so bare bones that I don't really get a good idea of what is going to be different from the other Civs. My favorite Civ, Civ 4. Civ 5 was great. Civ 6 didn't really hook me for whatever reason. I think maybe it was a little too high on its own supply. It got really complex into the mechanics, and I feel like that wasn't what Civ was about. So I'm excited for Civ 7, but no real idea what it's going to be like.
Was Civ 4 the one that was like the most cartoony out of all? Like, the characters were really Disney-esque?
The graphics at the time? No, it reminded me of like Age of Empires, the original graphics.
Okay.
I think it had a serious tone, but you could zoom out and you would be on a planet when you rotated the map. And I don't think they've never gone back to that since then. It's like a small thing, but pretty cool. I don't know. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, Warconius has a similar question. He says, what did you guys think of the quality of games and announcements at the Summer Games Festival? Personally, I thought the Guerrilla Collective had way more games that I was actually interested in. Did Devolver's presentation make you laugh, or is the whole look at us we're weird shtick getting old? It's like Adam Sandler after The Wedding Singer. That voice isn't funny anymore.
Damn.
Wow, critical. I
didn't watch the Summer Games Fest.
No, not yet. Mm-mm. The Devolver bit, I just skipped through the story parts of it and just wanted to see the gameplay of the new games, so I can't really give my opinion on it too much.
I'll probably watch that and the Xbox one today.
Yeah, there's a lot happening like right now or very recently, and I'm sure we're going to be covering that next week.
That's where Nick is right now, boots on the ground.
Boots, yeah, getting us the
the live scoop.
Yeah, I wish. That'd be awesome.
Bobby, how are you doing on time? Chris?
Excuse me.
I should probably wrap up here kind of soon, yeah.
Okay, let's do that then. Let's work towards that.
Okay. Well, that's the last listener question we have. What's everyone playing next week?
Dave the Diver, and what else am we going to be playing on there? Not sure. Dave the Diver for sure, though.
Okay. I want to finish Songs of Conquest, but I don't know if I can make it interesting 3 weeks in a row. So I think I'm going to try Clicky Land and check it out.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Are you part of their patron?
No.
Are you a patron?
Maybe I should be for $3 a month. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be playing Spec, and maybe I'll go play the second Doom game now.
Okay.
Second Doom game. Oh, gotcha.
The second new Doom game.
Yeah, you gotta. I always say the same thing. You got to start that game from the beginning because it's a special kind of way to play that thing. You can't pick up where you left off, or at least I can't. My fingers forget what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah. All right. Speaking for Bobby, go ahead, Chris.
No, just going over to the end the show button frantically.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chris, not Nick, and myself, altered titties. Maybe one went to college, one didn't. One got augmented, the other one did not.
Nice. Goodbye.
Bye.